Blog Talk Radio. Friday, because we just want to do a New Testament word today. We want to tell God that he is good and great and greatly to be praised. But he is our Father. He is our friend. He is our God. And I pray over my child. My daughter has to travel this week. So in the name of Jesus, Father God, we ask you to cover Kelly as she travels on her journey, Lord God. You know she has to go to Baltimore for training. And we know, God, that you are going to be with her, God. You're going to cover her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Lord God, let the pilot know what he's doing on her plane and give her safe journey to and from her destination. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, again for this day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. Father God, in your son's name, we ask you to increase as we decrease, Lord God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you are our redeemer, and we are your children. And we thank you, God. The word thank you keeps coming in my spirit because it says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. And God said, I will give to you. Hallelujah. We know that God has the abundance of heaven to give to us. And all we can say is thank you, God. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for all that you do because you love us like that. So as we get ready to roll into our word this morning, because we are moving forward, I have a prayer for today. And it says, real future. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? But you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you often say, if the Lord, and we say will, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord will. The Lord's will, not ours, but if the Lord will. Father God, keeper of my thoughts, you know every plan that takes root in my heart, my tendency to set my hope in the goals I set may get me going, but true hope is only found in you. Lord, may I live with a loose grasp on the plans I set, knowing that whether they happen or not, you have good things in store. Thank you that my future is much brighter than any I could ever dream of because it will belong to you and your kingdom. As I walk through this life, I pray that I will find pleasure in your goodness that does not change based on circumstances. No matter whether all my dreams come true or every plan I have falls apart, you do not change. You are better than all my desires put together. Help me to believe that to the very core of my being, have your way, Lord God. Have your way. Have your way. And a question as we start our lesson this morning is, if your plans fail, where does the hope of your future lie? And I tell you, my plans have fallen a few times, and my hope and my future lie in God. I give it all to him, but he is the author and the finisher of my faith. And all I can say is thank you. It's a thankful morning, Mother, a thankful morning. And again, good morning, Mother Valerie. I pray all is well with you and that you have a peaceful rest. So we will be in this morning again. We'll be in our 44th Psalm, starting at verse 20. And we will be ending in the 45th Psalm, verse 17. Our proverb this morning starts in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3. And we will end in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6. We will be in Luke chapter 11 and chapter 12. And so we're going to get started with our psalm this morning. I will be reading the 44th psalm through the 45th psalm, verse 1 through 5. And I'll also be reading Proverbs 14 through 4 through 5. And I'm going to go ahead and get all of mine out of the way. And then I will also be in Luke 11. And Mother Valerie will come back with the 45th psalm, starting at verse 6. And also her proverb is verse number 6 of chapter 14. And then she'll be back with Luke chapter 12. So let's get started in our word this morning. And it says this in our psalm today: if we had forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a foreign God, would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. Yet for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake! In other words, get up. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. Whew. We ask God to get up, but we know the more we seek him, the more we are finding. To the chief musician set to the lute, a contemplation of the sons of Korah, a song of love. Woo. My heart is overflowing with a good thing. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty rise prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Hallelujah. What a word. And as we go into a life lesson from the 44th Psalm, verse 22. It says, yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul quotes this unsettling verse in the middle of a passage exhorting God's love in Romans 8 and 36. Why? Because he wanted us to know that even in the worst of circumstances, God's love for us remains unchanged. Hold, as Mother said on yesterday, I believe it was, we got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Proverbs 14 and 3, in the mouth of fools is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Whew! We see it every day played out on television, in news media. We cannot be foolish, just saying whatever comes to mind and doing whatever we want to do. We got to be right and righteous. And it says also in verse 4 through 5, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness does not lie. Woo, mother! A witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Wow. That's a teachable moment, as our pastor would say. That's a teachable moment. We got to be careful of liars and cheats and those that will use our faith and use it for our detriment, not for the good of God, but for themselves. We got to watch and pray, because that's what the word tells us. We got to watch and pray, Mother. We got to watch and pray. We got to trust God and we got to watch as well as pray. As we go into our New Testament word, we are in Luke chapter 11. And, you know, I want to give a upfront. Now, when Luke put in the Father's Prayer in this New King James Version, I have to say it is different than what Matthew said. It's different because Matthew says, forgive us our debt as we forget our debtors. But Luke says it a little bit different. You know, and again, a lot of times, everything deals with interpretation. How did you interpret this word? And so as we go into the word, it says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that is the same. Then when, and also give us day to day, day by day is what they say. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, which is different from Matthew. Because when we go to Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to give a comparison. Most of us have learned Matthew chapter 6. And when I gave my first official sermon, I came from Matthew chapter 6, the Father's Prayer. And honestly, it is different because we have to go with what it says. And we all have learned the Lord's Prayer from King James normally. And so I'm going to go to King James very quickly. And it says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Beloved. Amen. And as we go to Luke, it says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this one is actually probably closer to what Jesus actually prayed, because it was in Hebrew, and in translation, it became something else. But we know that we want God to forgive us, but we got to forgive others. And we want God to provide for us, to help others. You know, as we read in yesterday's words, to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. And to love our neighbor as ourselves, that is the greatest commandment, the first and second greatest commandment. And as Luke says in verse 5, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. That's our title this morning. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and to him who knocks, it will be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out that the mute spoke, and the multitude marveled. But some that said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Others testing him sought from him a sign from heaven. But he knowing, come on now, Jesus, him knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, and if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stranger, then he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Woo! Blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. And we know he is talking about the queen of Sheba, who came for wisdom from Solomon. And many in Ethiopia believe that she came back with a child. And it says this, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright sun shining of a lamp gives you light. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now, you Pharisees, take the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue, all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greeting in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them. Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, teacher, by saying these things you reproach us also. And he said, woe to you also, lawyer, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with which of your fingers, with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you built their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things, lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say that they may accuse him. I don't know what they thought, but you can't beat Jesus. You can't beat Jesus. He loves us and he cares about us, but we better get a clue that God does not play. And when we go back to our life lessons through chapter 11, in 11 and 20, it says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. We are hearing the word of God daily. Are we keeping it? Are we hearing it? Are we trusting in it? God always promises to bless joyful obedience. We delight God's heart when we choose to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to do what he commands us to do. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Take heed in verses 11 and 35. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. How can the light within us actually be darkness? It happens when we mistake religious dogmatism and man-made tradition but genuine spirituality, deal for God, but not according to knowledge, Romans 10 and 2. In Luke 11 and 45, teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also. Although Jesus knew how to answer tough questions and delight the masses, he did not neglect the truth to remain popular. He never shrank from rebuking those who needed it. He still does it. And I got to shout out my pastor. You know, she is one just like that. If she does something wrong, she'll let you know it. and she'll repent right in front of the congregation. You got a lot of pastors that do dirt, that do stuff, and try to keep it hidden. And then when it comes out, you have the Jimmy Swaggers, oh, that's Jimmy, get up. But you wasn't going to say nothing until it came out. Again, we better understand that we got to repent. And it don't matter who you are. If you did something wrong, tell God, Lord, I'm sorry. Tell the person you hurt, I'm sorry. I am sorry because you made me feel some kind of way. And I don't know why, but I'm sorry if I've done anything to hurt you in any way. We got to repent. We got to tell everybody, I'm sorry. I had hurt my godson. I said some things. Yes, I did. And I had to preach on that Sunday. But before I said a word, I stood before the congregation and I told him I was sorry. And I asked for forgiveness because that's what we have to do. Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for sins seen and unseen. Word spoken. We got to ask forgiveness. We can't walk around like we the best thing since sliced bread and that we are holier than Jesus because we're not. I'm not sure why this word is coming out, but whoever it's for, we got to trust God. It may be for me. I ask God every day, forgive me, Lord, for my sins, seen and unseen. And as we go, it says obedience always brings blessings. It says the Lord's simple request is what Dr. Stanley tells us. He's got three things for us to think about. And the first one is obeying God in small manners is an essential step to God's greatest blessing. Number two, our obedience always benefits others. And number three, when we obey God, we will never be disappointed. I say that again. When we obey God, we will never be disappointed. And this is what Dr. Ali breaks it down to us. Said the Lord's simple request often serves as stepping stones to life's most wonderful blessings. Simon Peter illustrates what can happen when we say yes to God. One day a large crowd pressed around Jesus while he preached. The Lord wanted to use Peter's boat as a floating platform from which to address the multitude. So he asked the future apostles to push the vessel out a little way from shore. Not in itself a particularly remarkable request. Peter's compliance paved the way for staggering blessings. From his example, we learn how essential it is to obey God in even the smallest manner. The noisy crowd received the first blessing of Peter's obedience. The people could now clearly hear Jesus' words at the conclusion of the lesson. The Lord said to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. A second opportunity to say yes or no. But this time, Peter must have felt tempted to decline. After all, he had worked the entire night for a catch, but had returned empty-handed. And now this young teacher, a carpenter, by the way, not a fisherman, was telling him to go fishing again. But notice what happened as a result of Peter's second of obedience. On a day that he and his partners must have counted as a total loss, they pulled in not one, but two overflowing boatloads of fish. Saying yes to the Lord's request resulted in a miracle that transformed the fisherman's life. Consider three reasons why obedience is critical to the successful Christian life. And as I go over them one more time, obeying God in small manners is an essential step to God's greatest blessing. Suppose Peter had said, look, I'm busy cleaning my nets right now. I can't help you because I'm going fishing again tonight. Or he could have said, why don't you ask to use that other boat over there? Or I've already been fishing today. It would be a waste of time to go again. If Peter had said anything other than yes, he would have missed the greatest fishing experience of his life. But because of Peter's obedience, the Lord arranged a miracle that he would never forget. Oftentimes, God's greatest blessings come as a result of our willingness to do something that appears very insignificant. So ask yourself, has God been challenging me to do something seemingly unimportant that I have not yet made an effort to accomplish? Is there anything I have rationalized by saying it's too difficult, I don't want to, or I have to pray about it first? Ooh, I would not be doing this blog, Mother Valerie. I was asked all them years ago by Pastor Fred to do the Thursday Morning Glory word. I will tell you, at first I was walking in fear, but God said, it's your season. And because of doing Thursday morning glory, thank you, Pastor Fred, for believing in me. Doing Thursday morning glory, Prophetess Diane Shaw, and she had a ministry at the time that was a Blog Talk ministry, where she had many ministers under her. And we did a word under Diane Grimble ministry. She was a Grimble at the time. And I did a sermon. And Diane heard it. And she said, why don't you do Blog Talk? Again, almost walked in fear. But the Holy Spirit said yes. And I said yes. And I did a 2-hour show called New Beginnings every Saturday night. Praise the Lord. And it evolved into Moving Forward. So I say, when you obey God, God opens doors that you least expect. Mother Valerie is with us today because she obeyed God when she said, can I leave? And God says, yes. So thank you, Mother Valerie, for obeying what God is putting in your spirit. And it says, our obedience always benefits others. Think of how many people were blessed by Peter's obedience. Not only could the crowd see the Lord and hear his lesson, but Jesus himself also benefited. Preaching from the boat enabled him to sit down in comfort while he spoke. Then, of course, Peter's friends had a very profitable day. They took in 2 vessels so full of fish that both began to sink. More importantly, they had the opportunity to witness something supernatural. God often rewards others, in particular those closest to us, as a result of our obedience. For example, no father can obey God without a blessing pouring into the lives of his wife and children. Likewise, a child's obedience will bless his or her parents. When we obey God, we will never be disappointed. Peter no doubt assumed that Jesus' fishing instructions would amount to a waste of time. But when he complied with the Lord's simple request, the Lord brought about a miracle that gripped him with amazement. Jesus turned an empty boat into a full one. We, like Peter, must recognize that obeying God is always the wisest course of action. He can also take our emptiness, whether related to finances, relationship, or career, and change it into something splendid. Perhaps you hesitate to obey because you fear the consequences. Remember that the same sovereign, omnipotent God who keeps your heart beating and the planets orbiting is more than able to handle the results of your obedience. I don't mean that to obey will necessarily result in the outcome you desire. In fact, an intervening trial could well precede a blessing. But even when your expectations do not line up with God's purpose, his ways never end up disappointing us. On the contrary, however he chooses to bless our obedience always proves most satisfying in the end. Can you trust God today? Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, God's got to bless her with your name on it as I turn it over to you this morning. Whew, what a word.
Amen. God is a good God. And you know what? Good morning, people of God. God is a good God. And, you know, we say that all the time because it's the truth. Tell the truth, shame the devil. God is a good God all the time. I'm coming out of Psalms 45, 1 and 5. My heart is overflowing with a good thing. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. Girt your sword upon you, your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And then your majesty rides. Because of truth, humility, and righteousness, and your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. In Proverbs 14, 4 and 5, where no oxen are, the trout is clean. But much increase comes by the strength of an ox. A faithful witness does not lie. But a false witness will lie. That's what a false witness will do. Coming out of Luke 12, 1 and 34. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together till they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Him who after he is killed has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him, Coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to whom who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. One from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And you know that's a true statement. I don't care what you possess. When you die, you can't take it with you. You can't take anything with you. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain man yield plentifully. And he thought within him, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater ones. I will store all my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, So you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, about the body, put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barns. God feeds them. But how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, tomorrow is sown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens, does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, and that your heart will be also. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will be. Life lesson, Luke 12 and 6. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Jesus said that God remembers even the sparrows that end up for sale at the market. He knows their plight. Even so, he knows our situation. He never forgets us, even when our trials make it seem as though he has. Luke 12:15. Beware of courteousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. True satisfaction in life flows out of the fulfilling the purpose for which we were created, to enjoy an intimate relationship with God. As a substitute for God, acquiring material assets only makes the heart feel more hollow. I mean, having a whole bunch of things don't mean anything. It just don't. You can have a whole bunch of things. You can be a millionaire, have lots of money, but then you can be so unhappy guarding your money. It doesn't mean anything. It says what the life lessons, what the Bible says about money and worries, Luke 12:13-14. Every day you face decisions that express what you really believe about God. You're constantly making choices that demonstrate what you truly depend upon for your security. Of course, for most people, nothing represents a bleach in security or inspires fear as quickly as concern over money. Of all of Satan's schemes, his deception concerning wealth has become one of the most successful in turning people's heart away from God. 1 Timothy 6:10 reminds us, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Satan will frequently use the perceived need for material security against you, motivating you through fear of the future to choose against trusting God. This can happen in 100 different ways, but it generally involves clear-cut, difficult choices that will either honor God or temporarily calm your fears. On one side is God's way, the path he's directed you through his word and spirit. On the other side is the common sense choice, the option that appeals to earthly wisdom. For the man in the crowd, the issue was his inheritance. Luke 12:13, he said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with us. Although the man may have a right to the inheritance, Jesus saw right away that it was a stumbling block to him. It was blinding him to the truly important issues. Not only was the man willing to divide his family over the claim, desire for his portion of inheritance was impeding him from receiving the salvation Jesus was preaching. Jesus was there to offer him eternal life, and all he could think about was the money owed to him. That is why Jesus responds, "Beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Luke 12:15. So here on earth, it may seem like money moves the world. It doesn't. God does your wealth or lack thereof. It has nothing to do with your security. It is only a mirage of a world that is fading away. Only God keeps you truly safe. He's the one who feeds you and clothes you. He's the one who protects your life and will one day require it of you. Remember that whenever you are confronted with a dilemma about monetary issues, do what honors God. Do what God says do. And always remember Jesus' words of encouragement. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old. A treasure in heaven does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there's your heart will be also. You are worth a lot more than the assets in your portfolio, and your Father knows your needs even before you ask him. Therefore, do not fear. Honor God. Trust him to be your security in every situation. Because when he is your treasure, you truly have everything you need and much, much more. You have everything that you need and much, much more when you trust God. I'm turning this back over
everything.
To Pastor Brittany. God is just a good God.
Thank you, Mom.
All the time.
So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Mother, how many times have you asked God for something and all of a sudden it just shows up? Lord, I need. And then, bam, there it is. I will never, ever forget my roof, my chimney. I needed a new chimney. And it was going to be a hoop and ladder to go through to get the money to get it fixed when I needed to get it done pretty quickly. And got someone to give it to me, to fix the roof, to fix the chimney. And I haven't had any issues since. God will do that for you. All you have to do is believe and trust him. And I have another word, and it says present. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Ever-present Father God, you are the full expression of love through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Wherever there is love that lays down offenses, there you are. Where there is love that chooses to express itself in kindness rather than manipulation, there you are again. I may not know what your features look like, but I know you in your character. Give me deeper revelation knowledge. Give me deeper revelation knowledge of your presence as I look for signs of you in my life. You don't complicate matters. You simplify them. I know I will find you when I look for you. I see you at work in families, healing, and communities rallying around their members. May I be a vessel of your love, being made more like you, even as I seek to know you, as I look to you. Let me resemble the goodness of my Father more and more until the days run out and you have come again. I long for that day. But in the meantime, I choose to live out your ways, not my own. And the question is, where do you see God's love at work in the lives of those around you? I see it at work in you, Mother Valerie, as you come on every morning and work with me and read the Word of God, which you love. I am thankful for you. I am grateful for you. And I am thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be a child of God. Can't say more than that. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word from Sister Carolyn today is simply this. Good morning. Don't let fear keep you from your destiny. It may not be easy, but God will be right there to meet you all along the way. Have a fearless Friday. And again, the more you seek him, the more you find him. Hallelujah. We got to seek. We gotta first ask. And then it will be given. And then we got to seek. And then we will be fine. You have not because you ask not. So don't complain about God not doing anything when you didn't ask God to do anything. God gives what you ask for as long as you don't ask amiss. Mother Valerie, that's all we have this morning. If you have anything else or if there's anyone out there who has a word that God has put in your spirit that you want to share, now is the time. Because if not, it is a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. And I got to drop off at school today. It's my drop-off day. So Grandma is doing Grandma duty this week. So I just want to say thanking God, asking God to protect my daughter as she travels the highways and skyways. That he keeps her covered under the blood of Jesus as he keeps us covered. Trust God today. Don't let anybody knock you off your square. As you ask God for whatever it is you need, God's got it. That's the song says. Whatever you need, God's got it. Whatever you want, God's got it. All we got to do is ask. So trust God
and
believe and know. Mother Valerie?
Do you know what I like about today was life's principles? Obedience always brings blessing. Obeying God in small matters is an essential step to God's greatest blessing. And it said our obedience always benefits others. And then when we obey God, we will never be disappointed. So, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. God's word. I mean, he tells us all the time to obey, little children, to obey the Lord. And then that's exactly what we should do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Our obedience always benefits other people. When we obey God, somebody else gets blessed. Isn't that, that's totally amazing. When we obey God, other people are blessed because we submitted. We obeyed God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, Charles Stanley was on it. Obey God.
Yes, he was.
Obey God. If you say go,
God
go
bless
to the
his
left,
lovely
go to
soul.
The
he
left.
Was on it.
If you say go to the right, go to the right. It'll save your life someday. It really will. You obey God. God is just good. Now, I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen. And
amen.
All I have to say is, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and lovely day. Have a fearless Friday, as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it. We're going to have a fearless Friday as we continue to ask and to seek, for it will be given, and he will be found. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and saving our souls, for you are good and greatly to be praised. Thanking God this morning for all of you. Thanking God for you, Mother Valerie. Have a blessed and wonderful weekend. I'll see you on Sunday.
Amen.
God, and as the word tells us, God willing. All right now.
Amen.
Take care.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Amen.
Amen. It's a wrap.